much soil, and it sprang up quickly, and because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." And when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." And then he said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. And as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. And others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." Let's take time to pray, and then we're going to get into God's word together today. Father, we are grateful that you are a God that is a name that is above all names. You are a God who is gracious to us, quick to forgive us. And as the words that we have sung today, by your power, we have been set free through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we know that, God, in our lives, that at times we choose to be our own God, that at times we choose to live life the way we think is the best way to live. And yet, God, we just want to know your ways. We want to know how you operate, Lord. But Father, we just come to you today just asking that your Spirit would begin to speak to our hearts, that we'd be open to your truths, Father, that God, whatever changes that we need to make because you are leading us, that we would be obedient to that. Father, I want to thank you, God, that you held together Jeff while he was away in the hospital for 25 days. But yet, God, we know that you were with him. You were always with us. Thank you for sustaining the Davis family through this time. God, and we know that there are things that you have taught him and that have taught them throughout this period. Lord, even, God, we just ask that through these moments in our lives, the experience and the circumstances that we encounter, Lord, that we would look to you, the author and perfecter of our faith. And Father, as we take time in your word, as we hear of just a story that Jesus told and began to explain the meaning, may we be people who choose to have hearts that are open to you, that we would allow you to cultivate the soil of our lives so that it brings glory and honor to your name. And all God's people said, amen. So, I remember a couple of summers ago, I was advantageous and brought my wife in on this project of planting a garden. Now, if you've ever planted a garden, you know that it takes some work, don't you? I didn't realize that it would take a lot of work. And so in the backyard, there was a sandbox, and we ripped the sandbox out, took all the sand out, got fresh soil, dug up the soil in the ground, and we laid the seed out in perfect little rows, and we watered it, and we were like, man, this is going to be great. We don't have to go to the store. Trader Joe's has nothing on us now, and it didn't turn out the way that we had anticipated or planned that it would. Now, I'm going to tell you in just a bit how that all played out and how much crop we produced. But as we are taking time here today in our Always series, we're looking at the life and work of Jesus. And it's beautiful here in this story is that Jesus shares with us a parable. And we're going to get into that in just a moment too. But today what we want to look at, our message is entitled, "Some Seed, Some Soil, and Ears to Hear." Some seed, some soils, and some ears to hear. If you're following on your outline this morning, here's what we want to understand today is this, is that Jesus is always working on people's hearts. Jesus is always working on people's hearts. He's always working on my heart. He's always working on your heart because he wants us to become like him. The Bible says in Philippians 2:13, it says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." I don't know about you, but I try to come up with my own solutions to my life's problems. And many times what that does is that it leaves us empty. Or we may try to find the next great self-help book or find some advice on a television talk show, whatever that may be. And we believe at times that we can change us. And yet, what we're saying here today is that Jesus is always working on people's hearts. It is him that changes and transforms lives. And when you and I allow Christ to do that, we will begin to desire to live out his purposes in this world. And his purpose is for us to be ones who are messengers of the gospel to bring glory to his name. And so, as we begin chapter 4 here together, I want to go back a little bit to chapter 3 because there was a lot that happened there over the past couple of weeks together. I mean, coming off chapter 3, if you remember, Jesus dealt with a man who was demon-possessed. If that wasn't difficult enough, then Jesus had to deal with his family, if you remember that. And not saying that was difficult, I'm just saying that in the chapter he had to deal with his family. But if you think about it for a moment, Jesus has probably had a long day. And yet he takes the time, because there was a crowd there, he gets in a boat just so he's not taken over by the mass of humanity, and he begins to tell this story, this parable. Religious teachers in that day would teach in parables. In other words, it was a story that people could relate to, and yet it had a deeper spiritual meaning. And what we've learned about Jesus, or I've learned about Jesus, is that many of his parables were clear. And yet we see here in this story that he is going to explain a deeper meaning to his disciples. Not only that, a parable was a story that not only had a deeper spiritual meaning, but it was also one that brought you to a place to have you question, what am I going to do with God? And so that's where we are this morning. And verses 1 and 2 set the stage for Jesus beginning his story. But in verse 3, Jesus says, listen. So he wants to get their attention. He wants them, not only their attention, but he wants for them to pay careful attention. And he begins to tell the story of a farmer. Now, they could have related to a farmer in that day and time. And he began to talk about how a farmer was throwing seed. He was sowing, in the process of sowing and reaping, or what we call today planting and harvesting. Now, in that day and time, a farmer would have had a satchel that he would have strapped on his shoulder, and he would have just walked around and thrown seed. He would have broadcast the seed. That's what it was called. He broadcast the seed. Now, in that day and time, and in that region, that Palestine region, it was rocky. And as you heard, as he said in the story, there was thorns, or the ground was hard. So imagine we living here in the Western world and having dirt roads. And if you walk or you drive on those dirt roads, that road becomes hard. And so Jesus is explaining to him, this is what is happening as that farmer is broadcasting seed where he goes. It's not like today when we made our garden, we had the nice little rows and the fruits went down here, the vegetables went down here. He just scattered seed. He gathered seed. And we see that in this story that Jesus is explaining that not all the seed produced. He was saying that some seed did. And he explained that some seed produced 30 to 60 to 100 times of what was broadcast. But it said that some seed fell on good soil. Now, the 100 times or 100-fold was usually a productive harvest. So there was a great return on the investment. And see, the farmer had purpose for the seed, and that purpose was what? To produce a crop. And so Jesus tells this story, and the people are listening, and then all of a sudden he says to them in verse 9, he says, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." So I don't know about you, if I was in the crowd, I'd be going, here's my ears. I'm hearing everything you're saying, and yet you're talking about farming. I came here for something good. I came here for something meaty. And yet you're telling me, if you have ears, just hear. I know about farming. I know how this all plays out. And yet, what Jesus did is he was intentional in not explaining the story to the crowd. He wanted them to think about what he had just said. You see, just like the farmer had purpose for the seed, what we can realize is that God's message has purpose. God's message of Jesus Christ has purpose. The writer John, who wrote the Gospel of John after Jesus' resurrection, he explains in John 20, verse 31, he says this, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by that believing you may have life in his name." God's purpose for Jesus Christ was to reconcile humanity back to himself. That was his purpose all along. And God's grace and his mercy have been extended to us. And by faith, when we believe that Jesus is the Messiah, not only he is the Messiah, but that Jesus Christ is the one who died for the sin of the world. He died for sinners just like you and me. We are placed in right relationship with God. So God's message, just like the seed, had purpose. And when you and I allow God to work on our hearts, we begin to develop a life that says, Jesus is my source. He is the one that I live for. He is the one that I look to. And so Jesus ends the story with, whoever has ears, let him hear. But then Jesus, with his 12 disciples and some others, he began to explain this story of the sower. And he explains it to his disciples because what he wanted to do is he wanted to let them know how God works. You see, the disciples who were following Jesus called them to follow him. If you remember that in that day and time, if you didn't make the cut for to be a disciple of a rabbi, you ended up in the family business, or as a female, you would end up to look to be married. And so that's what's going on here. Jesus called them to be his disciples. They were ready to learn, but yet many in the crowd were not ready to learn. There may have been religious leaders there waiting for Jesus to foul up on what he said. So they were not open to what he had to say. Many of them heard, but many, did not understand. And yet Jesus goes on to explain here in verses 10 to 12, the kingdom of God, a secret, a mystery. Even the writer, the Apostle Paul, wrote about the secret and the mystery had been revealed. The secret of the kingdom of God is Jesus Christ himself, God in the flesh, who came to earth again to die for the sin of humanity. Jesus was the secret revealed, and God's spirit, he has shown us who he is. And it's our faith that helps us to understand that. Because for some of us, it may not make sense at times. For some of us, it may be, I don't understand it all, but I'm going to be open to what God has for me. And I'm going to learn day by day, moment by moment, and allow his spirit to work in and through me to cultivate my heart to become more like him. So the secret was revealed. The kingdom of God was Jesus on earth, right in front of his disciples. And in verse 12, what Mark here was quoting was the prophet Isaiah. But now God was going to use Jesus to be the one to proclaim the kingdom of God. He says in verse 12, he says that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. You see, there were people there who heard the message of God, but yet they didn't want to listen. They heard God's good news. All of them did. And yet, some of them may have said, no, thank you. But yet it was the disciples who had a yearning to learn, who had an open heart to Jesus. There are going to be people in our lives who are not receptive to the gospel of Jesus. But yet God says to us, we are people who broadcast his message. It doesn't mean that we're forceful or we're just way out there, but it's just that we are people who say, there is a God who not only loved me so much and took me just the way that I am, but he loves you. And his grace is there for you. His love is there for you. He is there
for you. And that's what he calls for us to do, because God will always accomplish his purposes. He will always accomplish his purposes. You see, one of the things that, there's some fancy terms that I want to give you, is general call and effectual call. Now what that is like the broadcasting of the seed. The general call is God's message goes out, just like the farmer broadcasts the seed. And what God does, God's message of Jesus has been broadcast even here today. And what God's message does, it calls us to salvation. In other words, rescue from God through Jesus. Not only that, it is to live out his purposes, as we've already explained, in this world. And not everyone is going to be responsive to it. Now, what I can say is that I don't know the mind of God. But what I do believe is that he is in control. And I do believe that God is one who, if I began to question, then I would be just like Job, who would, God said to him, where were you when I did all these things? Who are you? But yet I trust that God knows what he's doing, and my job is to broadcast. My job is to live a life that would reflect the Father, and that would be one that people would say, who is this Jesus in your life? And that's what we're seeing here. But here's what I do know. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 29:29, it won't be on the screen, but it says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But it goes on to say, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. Because I may get to heaven, see God face to face, and say, well, what about? Or why didn't? Or how about that person? But that may probably won't be as important than getting down on my face and saying, worthy is the Lamb. You are worthy. You are holy. And God may never answer the questions that I may have, but I understand that he's in control, that he's in charge, and he wants for me to broadcast his message. You see, throughout this series always, what we're going to see in the book of Mark in chapters 3, 4, and 5 is that God always, or Jesus is always working on people's hearts. Whether it's through the parables he tells or through the actions that he does throughout this time together. But it's always, he's always working on people's hearts. Now, there was two words that stuck out for me as I was reading and studying this. Hearing and listening. Because Jesus started in verse 3 with listen. I want you to pay close attention. Then he goes, he who has ears, let him hear. So I thought, okay, what do these words mean? And when I hear the word hear, it says, by definition, hearing is simply the act of noticing sound by ear, right? And then listening is something you do consciously or you choose to do, and it requires concentration. And when you listen, you will act upon it. So husbands, how many times have your wife asked you, are you listening to me? Yeah, one. Thank you, Ken, for being real. And Tom, thank you. The rest of you, I know that you're not listening to me right now. But there, and if you haven't heard, you may have heard this story, but those of you who are visiting with us, I'm going to tell it. Those of you who heard it, just bear with me. So when we first were married, we bought a house, and my wife said, the door needs to be fixed, the front door, because it rubs against the carpet. I said, I got it. You listening to me? Yeah, I got it. Got it. Well, about a year later, I'm sitting and watching college football on a Saturday afternoon, and my wife goes to take the door off. I'm going, what are you doing? And I got angry at her, okay? Anyway, she said, you have not fixed this door in almost a year, and I'm going to take care of it. But I heard what you said, but you didn't listen. So Jeff didn't watch college football for the rest of the day. But the point is that it's very interesting that Jesus used the words listen, but then he said hear. Because for some of us, we hear what God has to say to us, but when it really comes down to life and when life and God's truth collide, we don't listen. That's me. I'm speaking to myself right now. But I want to encourage us that what God wants for us to do is he wants for us to listen to him. We have ears to hear, but are we listening and acting upon his truths for our lives? You know, when we see these words that Jesus was talking about, we see that an invitation is given. An invitation is given. The invitation is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10:10 says this, because Jesus Christ did what God wanted him to do, which there's our example for godly living, we are all purified from sin by the offering that he made of his own body once and for all. It wasn't like that I sinned against God and then Christ was crucified again. And then I sinned against God and he died for sin. He paid the debt of sin once and for all. And he loves us too much to leave us where we're at. He says, come follow me. There's a reason he says, follow me. He doesn't say, stay where you are and hopefully everything will turn out all right. He says, follow me. I want to cultivate you. I want your life to grow deep in me. And that's what we're seeing here. And for us, it's a response that comes down to it, really. It's a response. And that's what we see here in verses 14 through 20 is the response to this story that Jesus is unfolding to his disciples. You see, in verses 14 through 20, notice that there are three negative and one positive response in this story. You see, for you and I as followers of Christ, there are three great enemies. One is the devil, and it's real, folks. It's a spiritual warfare that we face each and every day. It's not the tangible, it's what we don't see. So the devil is one of our enemies. Not only that, the broken world that we live in, and not only that, ourselves. Or as it said, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Those are the three enemies of a follower of Jesus Christ. And the truth is, as Jesus explained this story, he's saying, guys, and to us today, Satan doesn't want you to know the truth of God. And every way that he can get a hold of you, he's going to get a hold of you to make you begin to think that God is not worth following, that Jesus isn't working and cultivating your heart. My wife went to an event last night, and she shared how we cannot grow our spiritual lives if Pinterest is going to be our teacher. We can't live our lives as social media is our educator. You got to be in the Word of God. I have to be in the Word of God. And that's what he's telling us today. Satan doesn't want that. He wants to pluck it up and take it away. He's our great enemy. Not only that, it's the difficulties of our lives that will take over God's truth at times. And we have to begin to consciously say, I know what God's truths are. It may be difficult, but I know God is there, and I know he is for me. He is not against me. His promises are to bless me, not to harm me. And those are the things that we have to realize in our lives. Difficulty is going to happen, folks. But guess what? The Bible tells us, Jesus himself says, have peace, take peace. I have overcome the world. Isn't that great? He's overcome the world. He's overcome sin and death. We know that we can face any difficulty, that he will care for us and look after us. Listen, and then our worries and our anxieties will begin to trump God's truth. Maybe it's just simply writing scripture down. I don't know. Maybe it's getting the YouVersion on your phone, whatever that may be, but constantly reminding us of God's truths in our lives. Because you and I, what we need to do is we need to be aware of the things that are going to paralyze us from living for God. Because that's what he's talking about here. In verse 20, he goes on, Jesus says, others that hear the word and accept it. He's saying, guys, you get it. You're open to my teaching. I want you to be a part of what I'm doing. And it says that we listen and we accept it. We accept who Jesus is and what he's done for us. We don't define who God is to him. We understand who he is to us and all that he's done. And just like the seed that connects to that good earth soil, the result is the crop that's produced. It's what the farmer wanted. You see, the result of accepting God's truth in our lives is growth. It's growth. Because some of you may go, well, I'm hearing you say that, Jeff. So they produced 30, 60, and 100 times what was thrown out there. And you know what? I think what I'm hearing from you is that we always have to produce 100 times. Maybe for some of you, 30 is God saying, man, I am pleased that you got there. Some of you may be, I can only produce 5. My life is so hectic and I'm busy and things just are dictating, but I'm going to go for 5. And I want to produce a life that is pleasing to God. No matter what that looks like, I want to do that. And then he will continue to bless as you continue to be faithful. And then he's going to challenge you with more. And he's going to challenge you with more because he wants to grow and cultivate you and your life. You know, it's like the garden. I'd have to be honest, Tina did a better job at working the garden than I did. Because, you know, Tina was out there and doing things, and she researched and goes, you know, we were supposed to literally have these plants ready to go about a month or so ago before we planted them, you know? And I was like, man, that darn YouTube. But here's the thing. You know, me, if it was up to me, I would have just been, grow! But it didn't work that way. You had to work it. You had to work the garden. Now, the result of our garden, one tomato and one pepper. So Tina had salad. But what I'm trying to say is that our life of faith in Jesus Christ, we have to play a part. His Spirit will work in us. His Spirit will nudge us. His Spirit will remind us. But you and I have to make the decision to say, I'm in. And I'm going to participate in the cultivation of God's work in my life. So a decision is made. When it comes to the response, a decision is made. Jesus says in John 15:5, he says, I am the vine. Who's the vine? So it's not us. Okay, good. We got that down. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you stay joined to me and I stay joined to you. I love it where he says, if. He says, if you hold on to me, I'm going to hold on to you. And I love how Jesus is not saying, I'm going to force you to stay with me. But I want you to hold on to me. I want you to remain in me. I want you to hang tight. Don't let go. And he goes on, he says, if you stay joined to me and I stay joined to you, then you will produce lots of fruit, but you can do nothing. Excuse me, you cannot do anything without me. And he was being straight up with us. He says, without me, you can try. You can work really hard at what you're trying to accomplish, but you're going to end up empty. I will fulfill you. I will be your source. I will get you through. While you're here on this earth, I promised you my Holy Spirit would reside in you. Not only was it a promise, but it was a sign that I'm going to come back for you. And we're going to do this together forever. Isn't that great? But that's what we live in today. Listen, it's not the message of Jesus Christ. Hear me what I'm saying. It's how we respond to it. There are many things that we respond to each and every day with yes or no. It's how we respond to it. I believe the gospel message is a beautiful message of rescue and redemption. So hold on to Jesus. And when you think it has to be your willpower, let it be God's power in you. Invest in the person of Jesus Christ. Let him show you who he is and let him show you the great things that he wants to do in and through you. That's why Jesus is always at work on our hearts. And it's not just responding to God for rescue or salvation, but it's saying, God, I need your good news each and every day. And so for you and I, when we look ahead here in our series, we're going to see in the next couple of weeks that Jesus challenges about being light in the world. You're going to choose to hide it or let it shine. Not only that, he's going to talk about faith that is growing. And finally, it's having a faith that's just as small as a mustard seed, but it grows incredibly large. And that's what we're going to be taking a look at over the next several weeks, and I'm excited about that. But for you and I today, what do we take away from this story? There was a lot that we just went through, a story and then a story explained, talking about having ears and listening, being responsive to the gospel. But the question today is, are you listening? The question is, are you listening? Because what we said listening was is something that you consciously do and you choose to do it and to do something about it. So I want to share a few things with you this morning. One is this. We're going to choose to listen to the gospel of Jesus. The first is this. It's an act of confession. It's an act of confession. What it comes down to is really admitting that your heart is not turned towards God. Or your heart's not turned towards the things of God. And just recently, when we were on our vacation, our daughter Emily is 18 now, so she is technically an adult. Well, Dad still sees her as a little girl. And so there were times on the trip where she would want to make decisions or suggestions, and I would kind of play it down, or I'd get frustrated with her. And my wife, I love my wife because she just tells it like it is. She said, "You know, you're being too hard on your daughter." I'm like, "No, I'm not. She's just not listening." "No, you're being too hard on your daughter." And so through that, I was able to have a conversation with my daughter, and I said, "Listen, Dad's really working hard, you know, and I still see you as a little girl, but I know that you're a young lady now, and you're on your own in college, and I'm still working through that, all right? Just bear with me." And she said, "You know what it is that when I answer things, and you may not feel that they're the best things, I feel like I'm being a disappointment to you." I was like, "Whoa, that's pretty heavy." And I said to her, I said, "You will never, ever be a disappointment to me." I said, "I have to confess to you that you are a young lady, and I have to understand that you've grown up. And some of you is just like me, unfortunately, and I apologize for that, you know? But it's understanding that she's her person. And now that she has choices and she has ideas and things." But the point is that it's an act of confession. Think about what the scripture says here in 1 John 1:9. It says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." We can live in the truth that God forgives immediately. He will forgive us immediately. And then when we listen to what he wants for us moving forward, here's the beautiful thing. He will speak to our hearts and show us and tell us how to live our lives each and every day. But there has to be a starting point. And that starting point's an act of confession. So I want to encourage you today to admit your need, whatever that need may be. That need may be that I understand this whole idea of Jesus, but today my heart is opened. It's opened to who he is. And maybe that's for you. Or maybe it's that there are things that you've been afraid to admit to God. Maybe it's things that you think nobody else knows but God does. And maybe he's been nudging you and saying, "It's time. Let me know. I want you to live in the freedom that I have intended for you." God never intended us to live in bondage. He intended us to live in freedom through his son, Jesus Christ. So it's an act of confession. The second is this. It's an act of movement. It's an act of movement. Just like we said about the garden, we didn't get anywhere when I said, "Grow." Just didn't happen. We have to work it. Again, here's what I mean. There is not a one of us who can earn our salvation. The Bible said it is by grace that you have been saved. Not anything that you do, but what God has already done. But what I'm saying is participating in the work of God, in what he's doing. And the fancy church word for that is sanctification. It's allowing God to clean us up each and every day, moment by moment, step by step. You know, when I thought about the idea of the soil and the different types of ground, I know I'm here, but I want to read what a Bible commentator, Dr. Thomas Constable, said about our hearts in the ground. It says, "You may be open to God about your future, but closed concerning how you spend your money. You may respond like good soil to God's demand for worship, but like rocky soil to his demand to give to those in need. We must strive to be like good soil in every area of our lives at all times." Now, that may sound threatening and overwhelming, but it's through Christ that it can be accomplished. He wants for us to have open hearts in every area of our lives. And we are encouraged by 2 Peter 3:18, where it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever." So again, be encouraged to partner with God in the cultivation of your life. But it all boils down to you have to choose to grow. You have to choose. Today, I'm going to follow you. Today, I'm going to make that step that I've never made before, or I'm going to do what others won't. And that's what you do. And that's the encouraging thing, because it's not just hearing what God says, it's listening to his truth and living in that. It's pointing to him as your source of life and living, because Jesus is always at work on people's hearts. He always is. He's still working on mine. And I know he's not going to end until my time is done here on this earth. But for you and I, here, I want you to listen to these words that Jesus gives us in Matthew 16, 24, it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me.'" Now, if I was a disciple hearing Jesus say that, I'd be like, "So you want me to die for you?" Because some of us have a momentary heart. In other words, we say, "Jesus, I am with you until..." And you fill in that blank. It could be difficulty. It could be, "I just don't like what you're asking me to do." But some of us have a momentary heart for God. Others have a packed heart. In other words, we fill everything else but God in our lives. And we end up empty. And we end up wondering why things aren't going the way that we thought they would. But finally, I want to encourage us to have an open heart to God today. In other words, it's saying, "God, I am listening to what you have to tell me. And I want to go with you in what you have to say." I mean, what if we began to open our hearts to God? What would that look like? Not only for us, but for you personally. What if you began to do that? What if you began to respond to God with yes? What would that look like in your life? You see, what I love about how Jesus shared that verse with his disciples is pretty straightforward. He's commanding them to give up what's most important to them. He's saying, "My will is for you to make my name famous in this world. Are you willing to give that up? Are you willing to give up your desires? Are you willing to give up what you want? Are you willing to give up your comfort, your fame, your power for my glory and for my name's sake?" And it may mean that you have to die to you. But he's saying, if you have an open heart, I'll make it grow. Let's be people who choose to grow with the Father, having our hearts open to him and participating in his cultivation in our lives. God, I come to you today, and I'm so thankful, God, that you give us your word. And sometimes your word is confusing, and sometimes it's just like, really? Like, what do you really mean here, Lord? But God, I hope and pray that your Spirit has spoken to us, just calling us to have an open heart to you. Not only to have an open heart to you, but be willing to be people who participate in your redemptive work. That we are a part of what you're doing. You're sanctifying us. You're cleaning us up, becoming more like your Son. Father, for those of us who need to admit our needs, may we do so today. May we not let it go by. May we choose to grow in you, even admitting, "I don't know it all, but I know the one who will show me." Father, if we have hearts that are rocky, if we have hearts that are hard or thorny, Father, may your grace and your love pour out on those today. God, would you take our hearts and mold them and shape them? May we be people who say, "Today I surrender. I keep saying it's for you and I show up here, but God, I just want it to be about you." May we live like disciples of yours, following your ways. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.